Hi, friends. Welcome back to Out of Focus. I'm Shannon Stewart, and today's guest is Whitney Mooring. She's a worship leader, pastor's wife, homeschool mom, and someone whose voice genuinely carries such a beautiful sense of peace and worship. Whitney grew up surrounded by music, ministry, and a very public family legacy, but her own story is deeply personal. Behind the scenes, she has walked through seasons of wrestling with identity, performance, striving, food, longing, and learning what it means to let Jesus become her first love. Today, Whitney and her husband, Jack, pastor in Franklin, Tennessee, where they lead with a heart for worship and helping people return to their first love. Whitney is also carrying a dream in her heart to eventually create an instrumental music project where each song represents a chapter of her life and journey with God. This conversation is honest and deeply encouraging. I cannot wait for you to meet Whitney. Whitney, I am so excited to have you on the podcast. I was trying to think, how long has it been since I've seen you in person?
I know.
And I think it's been 13 years because I was in Nashville, I believe, in 2012.
Wow.
It's crazy how much time flies. One thing I remember about you is how calm and gracious, and you just carry God's peace with you.
Aw, thank you. Well, I'm so excited to be on here with you. Thank you for asking me. I feel very honored.
And I can't wait to get into your music because I just love it. I love the song you sent me. And I can't wait for you to tell the listeners and the viewers on YouTube about it because it truly takes your eyes off of your situation, off of yourself, and you really get your eyes focused upon Jesus when you listen to that song.
Awesome. Yeah, well, that's the goal.
Exactly. So for people meeting you for the first time today, who is Whitney in this season of life?
I am Whitney Mooring, live in Franklin, Tennessee, my hometown, kind of lives back and forth between here and Texas, and married to Jack. He's a pastor, and we have 5 kids, ages 16, 13, 10, 7, and 3, 4 boys and 1 girl, and I'm a homeschool mom, too, so our life is very, I don't like to say busy, it's very full with good things.
I love that about your family. I remember I went to your house for an ugly Christmas sweater party,
yes.
And one thing I remember about your family is how you guys make time for each other and how you sat around the dining room table. You would talk about your day. You would laugh. You would share. And I have never forgotten that after all those years because a lot of families, when they grow and then they become their own family, they don't congregate together as much anymore and they lose that. But I really admire your family for always making time or trying to make time. And that is really inspiring.
Yeah. Since I was little, my mom always would make dinner most every night for us. We really prioritized just being together. And then now I hope that having my own family, we do the same thing. But we also, we all try to get together as much as we can. Most of us still live here and everybody has kids. There's 20 grandchildren in all. So it's kind of crazy, but we get together as much as we can. It's wild.
That's crazy. But
so fun. Yeah.
So you grew up surrounded by music, ministry, and a family that was very visible publicly. What was that experience like for you growing up?
When I was young, I didn't really think anything of it. You know, I was just a kid. But then, I think I enjoyed the fun parts of it, of riding on the tour bus, playing backstage at concerts and things. And as I grew up, I was able to appreciate more like traveling to really cool places and everything. I think the hard part about it was my dad traveling, of course, but he always had a rule that he wouldn't be gone longer than 2 weeks. And so I remember just being with him a lot. I'm still super close to my dad and my whole family. And so I think the challenges were also just being kind of labeled as Michael W. Smith's daughter. And some people, not a lot, but some people, you know, would try to befriend me because of that. So I became a very good judge of character. And thankfully, though, I had a lot of wonderful friends who loved me just for me.
That is hard, being on top model. And after that, it was amazing to me and very eye-opening, the people that would come around. And I was like, you never wanted to have that close of a relationship before. So I had my guard up, so I can completely understand that. Was there ever any tension between being grateful for your family legacy while also trying to figure out who you were before God?
Yeah, for sure. I think that I just kind of had to find my place and find who I really was in Christ. And also, I think as well, my dad is super talented, but I have very talented siblings as well. So even growing up in a family like that, I kind of felt like I wasn't as good as the others. And so struggling with that, just wanting to have that approval and being seen was definitely a struggle.
Did you ever have any expectations to live up to a certain standard because you were surrounded by that?
Yeah, not from my parents or my family, really. They always encouraged us in whatever we were doing. But I think, I guess, with other people, kind of just that expectation of being as talented or as good as the people are surrounded with. But yeah, I loved music, of course, and would play piano, and but also just trying to perform in that way. And also in, even in school, you know, just trying to find my worth through the things I did. And those were good things, but it didn't always have the right intentions with that.
I completely understand that. And it took me, I think around, let's see, 37 years, 30 some years to finally see that I had found my identity and my performance. I never saw it. I was so blind. And it wasn't like that at first. I really did love God. I wanted to obey God. But then over time, my worth became in the applause and keeping the standard and holding the line. And when you built your identity in performance and then you blow it up, that destroys you. And it was almost like God had to rebuild who I am in Him. And I am so thankful for the other side of that, because now I can just abide in Him and know His love, and I don't have to do anything else or become anyone else, that He loves me because I'm His daughter.
That's right. Yeah, it's so good. That's what I had to realize too. I'm a daughter of God. That's who I am. And He loves me no matter what. And that's it.
How did you come to that realization? What was your walk like?
So I loved Jesus since I was a little girl, gave my heart to Him as a little girl. But I didn't really like have a very close relationship with Him until I was probably a teenager. Backing up a little bit. So when I was younger, I struggled with running to food as medication, really. We all run to something and we really need to run to Jesus, but we don't always do that. And so that was the way I dealt with my pain. And then I had to realize that what I really was wanting was Jesus. That was it. And I knew that deep down, but it took me a while to get there. When I was around 15 years old, I had an encounter with God. I had, kind of become a loner around that time through different circumstances. Switched schools. I gained a lot of weight from the food addiction between 8th and 9th grade, which is like the worst time to gain a bunch of weight. And just kind of was ashamed of myself. Spent a lot of time alone. Although I loved my family, loved spending time with them. And I knew they loved me no matter what. I had some good friends. But yeah, it was a hard time where I was just feeling really depressed and down. And so I remember being in my room one day and I just cried out to God. And I remember, never forget, that I just felt His overwhelming love wash over me and fill me. And that moment was really where things changed in my life. Now, I wasn't like perfectly free from everything and all the things, but it changed my life. I started to spend time with Him every day and just come to know who I really was in Him. So it was really an incredible time in my life.
I just thought of two questions. I was curious, what did you run to food for? I know mine was control because I had an eating disorder. And this encounter you had with God, with His overwhelming love, was that like a pivot for you where you knew He was real, where it went from your mind to your heart?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. I think with the food, it was control. And it was something that made me feel good in the moment. But then, of course, it backfires. it's not good. But yeah, I really felt like he was really real to me in that moment. And it was like being addicted to something like food. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to be addicted to you, Jesus. Like this, you're what I want.
I love that. Did your food addiction stop with that encounter? Or was it more of a process?
It was a process for sure. But it was one of those things where like when I would run to food, I'd be like, oh no, that's not what I need. I'd run to God and be like, I'm so sorry, I need you. But over time, God really freed me from that. And it was definitely a process.
How did you start to grow in your relationship with him?
Just by spending more time with him, prioritizing that, like reading the Bible, praying. I loved listening to instrumental music and just resting in his love. That's when I could really hear him speaking to me and writing in my journal. And I'm not the best at writing my journal now, but I was really good at it back then. And so it's fun to look back.
Me neither. I need to get better.
I know. Yeah, look back at all of that and yeah, be reminded of what
it's actually really helpful because some things I forget. And like right now, there's so many things that have happened in the past couple years. And I want to remember them because it speaks to you. You can see how God was there in that detail, on the couch, in this house. And I'm like, I need to start writing these things down because it also builds your faith. We all go through trials and tribulations. If my husband says, if you're not in a storm, you're either going out of a storm or you're about to enter a storm because it's a process of life. It builds your faith when you remember, oh, he was there with me right there and there. And yeah, I got to get better at journaling.
I know. Find the time, right?
Exactly. Was there any moment where your faith stopped being something you inherited and it became deeply personal to you?
Yeah, I think just over time, just as I drew closer and closer to God, I can't pinpoint like a certain time, but yeah, coming to really know him and who he is and that he is love. It's wild to even think about. Nothing can be bad about him because he is love. And just knowing that nothing could separate me from his love and I'm his. And so just that daily, like drawing closer and closer to him.
Did you learn for Jesus to become your first love before he brought someone into your life?
I did. That's a really cool story because my biggest dream was to fall in love and get married and have kids. And so even like in high school, I just wanted to fall in love. I wanted to have a boyfriend. And I never really did. I mean, middle school boyfriends don't count, right? So I think God was protecting me for my future husband. And I got to the point where I was like, you know what, God, I'm just going to fall in love with you. And I trust you with that. I'm not going to look. I'm not going to worry about it. Because I know that he's out there and you're going to bring him along. And so I just kept falling in love with Jesus. He became my first love. And not long after that is when Jack came along. And so it's just so cool to see how God works and answers our prayers.
How did you guys meet?
So we met through music. My husband was in a band called Leland. And I was going to Pepperdine University at the time when I remember my dad called me and he was like, oh my gosh, you got to hear this band. They're incredible. Like their music is so amazing. And so he sent it to me. It hadn't been released yet because they were on the same record label. So he had it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so good. And it's kind of cool that I got to hear his singing voice before I even met my husband. But then long story short, my dad started writing with Leland, which Leland is the name of the band, but it's also Jack's brother's name is Leland. And then somehow, whenever the band would come to town, my parents would let them stay in their basement. And so they had stayed with my family a few times. And then I just kept hearing about them. And when I came home over the summer from school, they came again. And so I met Jack and it was definitely kind of love at first sight. We got to hang out for a little bit when they came. And then a couple weeks later, we went to Colorado. We were gone on vacation, but my dad had a concert there in Denver and Leland was playing with them as well. So we were like, y'all should come to the house and hang out with us. And so they did. And that was when we were like inseparable, talked for hours into the night. And that was actually 20 years ago almost exactly 20 years ago when we met. So we just went to Colorado, the same house, a couple weeks ago, and got to reminisce a little bit. So
that is amazing. I love that. And you did say an important line for all the singles listening is that you allowed God to become your first love. And that's so important because when we allow him to become our first love and be on the throne of our hearts, he seems to bring a person into our path or open up this door that we wanted because he knows that it's not an idol or a God to us because he's first.
That's right.
And I also stay with your parents. That's so funny.
Yeah.
They let me stay. They are so hospitable. I was like, wow. Because some people may have some kind of perception of it because of maybe their position or whatever. But your family is one of the most down-to-earth families that I have ever met. You guys exude Jesus Christ, not just in your words, but you can see it in your actions.
Thank you. I'm very, very thankful that even, you know, my dad has just stayed humble and being in the spotlight. And I think that's attributed to my mom being that rock for him. And then also just the people they surround themselves with. And they have like a prayer group they've had for like almost 40 years. And it's just, yeah, it's amazing.
I love that. I think you mentioned that you walked through a few miscarriages. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah. So I had two miscarriages, one after our first son was born, Smith, and then one after our daughter, Kate, was born. So it was a very difficult time. The first one wasn't physically as bad as the second one, but they were both heartbreaking. Even though you haven't met your child, you're still connected to them. You're carrying them inside of you, and it's just really hard. I know there's so many people who have gone through that. But I knew that it's one of those things you don't understand. I'm sure there's outside factors, environmental and all that. But it's still like, well, God, why didn't you intervene? And we don't understand. And it's one of those things you just have to trust God and know that he sees the bigger picture and he loves you and he's there for you. So I just knew that I couldn't blame him. I had to just keep trusting in him. And I don't even know how people can go through that kind of stuff without God. I just had to hold on to him and lean on him through that.
So you were one that chose to cling to him, even in your frustrations, confusions, maybe even anger, because you can either run from him or you can turn to him.
Right. Yeah. I knew that running from him was not going to help. And I think just because I had such a close relationship with him, I just had to have him. I needed him to help me through it and to grieve with me. I think that God cares so much about every detail in our lives, and he does grieve with us when we go through things like that. It's not like he wants that to happen. You know, we can't blame him. We have an enemy who came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus is the opposite. He loves us and he came to give us life. And God brought good even out of that. Like, it's kind of a weird thought, but like, I wouldn't have some of my other children if I hadn't had those miscarriages. So.
Wow. He uses everything. I love Romans 8:28, that he works all things together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Even the mess that we make, he's going to turn it around for our good some way, somehow, because he is an incredible God. And it blows my mind.
Yeah.
Blows my mind. So how has motherhood and homeschooling shaped your faith and your perspective on what truly matters?
Wow. Well, I love being a mom. It's one of my favorite things ever. And I think, first of all, having children kind of gives you a new perspective on even God and how he loves us. The love that I have for them is so amazing. And he loves us even more than that. It's like such a wild thought. And I think just also now, you know, having a family and trying to model my faith in front of them and keeping Jesus the center of our family is a huge priority. We do family devotions every morning when we can, when it's not crazy morning or something. And I love that time with them just to be able to read the Bible together and pray. And that's one of the blessings of homeschool is that we're not always busy every morning trying to get out the door, which my kids do tutorials 2 days a week. So some days are a little busier than others, but it gives us just more time to be together. And I know that not everybody can homeschool. And so I'm thankful that I can and just be able to teach them the truth and be with them more. I actually started homeschooling in, it was kind of a selfish motive at first, because when my first son Smith was, it was almost time for him to go to kindergarten. I was like, we were trying to pray about what to do. And I'm like, well, I'm not ready to be away from him that long. It's like 5 days a week, most of the day. No, I can't do that. So I'm like, let's try homeschooling, see how it goes. So we stuck with it.
I'm sure it's hard. You've been around your child so long, and to think of trusting someone else with your kid, that would be a little bit of a struggle.
Right. Yeah. Well, especially nowadays, who knows what they're teaching them. And so it's nice to be able to, yeah, really decide what curriculum to use and what to teach them. Like, a biblical worldview is so important.
Amen. It's everything. Your voice genuinely carries something so peaceful and worshipful. And as I was jamming out to your music, I was like, she has a voice like an angel. My husband goes, you know, all of the angels in the Bible are men. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. So now I'm going to say you have a voice from heaven. That's what I'm going to say.
Thank you. You're so sweet.
What does worship mean to you in this season of your life compared to earlier seasons?
Well, I've always loved to worship. Worship is one of my favorite things. I think now it's fun because I get to lead worship with my husband. So that's kind of fun. Most of the time at church, we get to lead together. And so it's really sweet. And yeah, I love worshiping. It's focusing on God and who he is. And it's so beautiful because it's not about us, but then he still blesses us through it. When we feel his presence and just feel his love. And I just love it.
For some people listening, I've heard this before, so you might be able to explain it, but they don't know how to worship. They just think they're listening to a song. How would you try to encourage them with the heart of worship and why they're worshiping? Because they really don't understand it.
First of all, just focus on what you're singing. What are these words saying? And it's about him. And I always encourage my kids to, not all of them do great in worship, the younger ones. I'm like, guys, just close your eyes if you need to. Focus on God. Focus on him. Because that's what it's about. It's about him. And so you can, I guess, you know, you can get caught up in the music and caught up in, you know, the production of it or whatever. But when you simplify it and just make it about him, I think that would really help people to just understand. There's nothing like worshiping him and feeling his presence.
I listened to worship music before this interview, and it's been a busy week, a chaotic week, a stressful week. And that music, I just was thinking about him and how he makes a way and how he provides and how he's just glorious and majestic and beautiful and wonderful. And that has a way of lifting your spirits, because I'm thinking about him and his character and who he is. And it seems like worries and fears dissipate. It's like, he's going to work it all out. There's just something about worshiping him and his presence, exactly what you said, you captured it, and having his presence wash over you. You got to do it.
That's right. I mean, we were created to know him and to worship him, and we're going to be worshiping him in heaven too. So,
for all eternity.
Yes.
And I'm praying that I have a singing voice up in heaven, because I don't have one on this earth. So I want one up there. You shared with me that you have a dream in your heart to eventually create an instrumental project where each song represents a chapter of your life and journey with God. Where did this vision come from?
Well, okay. I have to go way back, because first of all, I've always just loved instrumental music, and specifically movie scores, the music in movies. And we grew up watching lots of movies and loving the music. My dad specifically just loves it. And so I always listened to it growing up. And I still, that's like the main thing I listen to more than anything. So I have written stuff over the years. I love writing worship music, but I really discovered that I love writing instrumental. That's what comes most naturally to me. And a few years ago, I asked my brother, Tyler Michael Smith. He's a film composer. I asked him if he would help me with one of my songs and to make it sound like a song from a movie. And so he was like, sure. I don't know if I send that to you, but I'll send it to you if I didn't. But it's called To Gaze Upon His Beauty. And it just came from a time of spending time with Jesus. And I brought it to Tyler and I was like, I'd love to add all this orchestra in here and all this. So he made it sound amazing. And so from then on, I was like, well, that's kind of cool. Maybe I could make a whole record. That'd be awesome. But what's amazing about it was it started off with just something I wanted to do. And then God did even more with it. Like, I just have one song so far that we've recorded and I've played it for some people and for our church and stuff. And God has blown my mind with it because people will be like, oh my gosh, God showed me this and God did this. And he ministered to me just through listening to the song. And it's really amazing. And so I just started dreaming with God about it and thought, well, what if I do a chapter from my life for each song? That'd be kind of a cool idea because people could relate to each song and everything. And the vision for it is just that it would be music that people can draw closer to God while they listen and pray and rest in his love. So I'm really excited. I'm working on a Kickstarter so that I can pay Tyler to help me make it. And so I'm hoping to launch that soon. I've kind of pushed it back a little bit, maybe August or September, but it's really exciting.
That's awesome. What do you feel instrumental worship can communicate that words sometimes cannot?
Well, I love worship and I love the words. They're so powerful. But sometimes I think that no words can just say even more. Like when you're spending time with the Lord and you're listening to that music, he can speak to you more clearly. And I think we all need to learn how to be more still. Definitely in this culture that we're living in, everything's so noisy. But I think definitely I've just had multiple encounters with the Lord as I've listened to instrumental music. And what's amazing too is I'm listening to movie scores. I'm listening to this music that these people who are probably not believers wrote for movies, but still God has spoken to me and just loved on me through it. So I thought, well, what if I made this record intentionally for those encounters with God? And so that's what I want. I want him to anoint it and the melodies to come from him.
Can you tell me about one of those encounters?
I feel like God has really spoken to me multiple times as I've spent time with him listening and revealing his love to me. And like, I can see Jesus and it's like, I'm walking with him and I love nature. Nature is one of my favorite things. Music and nature, those are my favorite things. And so I just see him like walking with him in a beautiful garden or by the mountains. And that's just like my time with him. There was a time when I was going through something really hard and I saw us in a dark cave with light ahead and we were making our way through the cave and he was holding my hand and until we got to the light and came out and we were up on a mountain and it was beautiful. So it's like he shows me those things to encourage me in my walk with him.
That's beautiful. After I blew up my world, I had a vision of a white cross. And on the cross were post-it notes of all my sins. But in the middle, that's the one that caught my attention. It said adulterer in capital letters in black ink. And I just remember looking at it and I was dirty. I had a white dress on, but I was a mess. I had mud all over me. And then a gust of wind came because the Lord sent it. And all the post-it notes came off the cross. And then there was a white sash going diagonal on it. And I heard him tell me, that's how I see you. And then he gave me a new outfit and I was clean. I'm telling you what, I bawled my eyes out because I'm like, how can you see me that way? I see a monster in the mirror. And that's just so beautiful what you said, because I've had a similar experience as well with something different.
Yeah. Wow. That's so amazing.
I don't want to forget to ask about the song. I forget the name of it right this second, but what's the song that you sent me? Did you write it as well?
Yeah, it's called Irreplaceable.
That's it.
And
yes.
Yeah, I wrote it years ago. Well, I started it years ago. Just from, I think it's Isaiah 26, I believe, something. The verse is just my soul yearns for you. My spirit earnestly seeks you. And I was just meditating on that one day and just started writing melody to that and singing that over and over again. So it started off with just that. And then I came up with some other chorus ideas and didn't really like any of them. So finally, one day, Jack and I got together with some friends and we wrote the chorus and the bridge to it. And so, yeah, it's really amazing. It's that we got to record it with his parents' church. And the message is, you're all I want, Jesus. You're all I need. And you're irreplaceable. No one can compare to you. So that was just a sweet, sweet song that I got to write and record. And I'm so glad that it's blessing you today, even though we recorded a while ago.
I hope you record more. I am not kidding. I love it. It's the words. It's your voice with the words. I will say it's anointed. There's something about that song. It speaks to me. And I would encourage you guys to go and check it out because it really, really is a powerful, beautiful song. And I hope you record more. So I'll start praying for that.
Thank you. Well, we want to at some point with our church. That would be fun. So
speaking of your church is transitioning from Celebration of Life to First Love Franklin, correct?
Yes. First Love Franklin. Yeah. We felt like God wanted us to change the name and we were just praying about it. And literally God just gave that name to Jack, like almost immediately. And so really, of course, first love, talking about Jesus is our first love. And then also that we put love first. And it's like the two greatest commandments, love God, love people. So yeah, we're really excited about that. We're going to be doing that in the fall. So our church has been going for about 5 years now here. And so yeah, it's going to be really cool.
What's it like being a pastor's wife?
I enjoy it. I never saw myself as becoming a pastor's wife, even though I knew that it was in Jack's heart to do that one day. I don't know why I didn't think of it. But yeah, I love it. It's one of those things. I don't feel qualified to be a pastor's wife, but you know, God loves to qualify the unqualified. And it's an honor. It's such an honor to be able to just love people and teach our kids to show up every week and help set up and tear down and do all, serve people. And yeah, I'm really thankful.
What has God taught you about hidden faithfulness?
I think that's more important. Being faithful in those little things, serving your family, or just even spending time with the Lord, even like as a songwriter too, like writing songs just for Jesus, not to be heard by other people. You know, I think those are really precious things to him. There's actually reminded me of a book. There's a book called Every Moment Holy. And it's kind of like a liturgy kind of book with these little prayers, but it's for specific things. Like there's even one on changing a diaper and it's like a liturgy. So like every moment is holy, you know, everything you do can glorify God. I think that's so cool just because a lot of our lives, we are doing mundane things or things that people don't see, but God sees it. And if our heart is right and we're doing it with a thankful attitude, he will reward us for that.
Amen. For the woman listening right now who may feel exhausted from striving or trying to perform or be enough, what would you want her to know?
You are enough because of Jesus. We're nothing without him, but he makes us worthy because he died for us, because he gave his life. We can walk in his life, his freedom. We can do anything through him, through Christ who strengthens us. He will equip us for whatever he's given us to do. And I know it's hard and I still struggle with it. I still struggle with striving. I have to just come back to Jesus and remember that he's with me. Holy Spirit's in me in enabling me to do what he's called me to do. So yeah, I just want them to be encouraged to just rest in him and know that he's with you and he'll lead you and guide you. Just trust in him and rest in him.
In a world that's constantly trying to get our attention and pull us away from the truths of God's word, how do you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus every day?
I think for me, I have to start my day with him, not with my phone. I know that's a challenge for most people. I keep my phone in the bathroom at night, charge it in the bathroom. I'll grab it in the morning, but I won't look at it. And now I've failed at this before, but I'll try not to look at it until after, you know, I spend time with him. Like, I have to start off my day with him, reading the Bible, praying, and that just sets the tone for the day, you know? And of course, I want to stay connected with him throughout the day and pray. And there are moments when I am striving that I feel like God's saying, okay, all right, time to step away for a moment and just seek me or rest in me. But yeah, I think that's so important to seek him every day. We can't do anything without him. And if I do go a day without that, I can tell I'm definitely striving.
How do you balance everything? There might be a mom listening, a dad listening, maybe a student listening, and they're balancing working, going to school, whatever it might be. How do you juggle all the things? You're a pastor's wife, you homeschool your kids, you're a wife. How do you balance all those things?
Well, I don't do it great all the time, I'll tell you that. I'm not perfect at it. But I think, first of all, you know, that starting the day with him, so no matter what time it is, if you need to wake up early, do it. If you can spend some time with him, it doesn't have to be like, you know, hours long, but I think that would really help set the tone for your day. And then, yeah, I just try to make it a priority with the kids too, that we, you know, start off the day with Jesus. And then with the other things that we're doing, that we're keeping him in mind, we're doing everything for his glory. Because a lot of days I'm just home all day and it can get a little mundane and busy. But just remembering that, like you said before, like those little things, if we're faithful in the little things, he will reward us and he blesses us.
It's amazing too, when you start your day with him like you do, and he has a way of ordering our day. Things can come in, opportunities can find a way to invade our schedule, but he has a way of removing things and also just showing us where to put our time that day, because we only have so much time in a day. But when you start it with him, your day just seems to go by so much better. You could not be more truthful when you said that. If people want to find you and connect with you and hear about your, what is it called again? The Kickstarter or I?
Yes. Kickstarter. Yes.
Would you mind sharing your Instagram handle or a way they can find you?
It should be at Whitney Mooring Music. I think that's right. I will work on that. So make sure it's up and running.
I like to always end on one question. If someone only remembers one thing from your story, what do you hope that they remember?
Oh, I think just that Jesus is everything. And your relationship with him is the most important thing. That's what I tell my kids all the time too. Like, you're going to do great things for the kingdom of God. I know that God has great plans for your life, but the most important thing you can do is just to know him. So I hope that that's what my life really tells people, that I just love Jesus.
It comes out of your pores, Whitney. You can feel it. You can sense it. You can see it. It really does. You're one that is so on fire for him that you truly light a spark in other people.
Thank you. Well, I feel the same way about you.
Well, thank you so much. This was so fun. I am so glad you said yes to being on my podcast. It has been so fun being able to connect and hear more of your story. And I know that it will be an encouragement to so many people.
Oh, awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Don't forget to subscribe and follow along so you never miss an episode. Remember, when life feels out of focus, there is always one who brings clarity. We'll see you next time.